This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Cal Hawke, thank you for joining me tonight on The Informer. We are discussing a segment that you're doing on Joy 94.9 and Victorian Aid Council's show Well, Well, Well.
Yeah, it's more than a segment, really. It's actually a series of episodes that we've started doing in the lead up to VAC's 35th anniversary, which is coming up in July this year, which is very exciting.
That's a lot when you're thinking about looking back. I mean, we're coming up to Radiothon here at Joy and we're looking back at 25 years, and that's a little bit daunting. But when you look at an organisation like the Victorian Aids Council and look at 35 years of history, that not just internally, but as far as advocacy, health and fighting for health and what it's meant on political levels, grassroots levels. There's a lot when you look at what that means from a VAC perspective.
Absolutely. I mean, the VAC's legacy and its history isn't like sort of self-contained in this tidy box, because as I started to produce the first episode, which we aired a couple of weeks ago, I realized that I actually had to jump back to the 70s. And it was great because at the time I was producing this, we were kind of hot off the heels of Mardi Gras, and everyone had been reflecting on, you know, the 78ers and the legacy there, and 40 years reflecting. And that's related to what was happening here. Mm. And you realize how much of this is woven in on each other. And it's been great because I've had a chance to talk to so many amazing LGBTI community outers and some people who have heard their name, or I've met them once in passing, maybe during the AIDS conference in 2014. But to really start to put those connections together and kind of realize it's been really, really interesting to kind of see. And then people that I've sort of taken for granted, I guess, to some extent, that I knew in the community that were still active, but I didn't realize how far back their legacy really went. And it's been really, really lovely.
It's also very daunting when you really consider the depth of what you need to look at. When you're looking at sexual health, even going back 5 years, it's a completely different framework for what it exists for our communities just within Victoria. But when you're going back 35 years,
yeah,
that's something completely different as well, because that's even at the height of the AIDS epidemic, or
and
just
it's,
before
and it's
it?
Really interesting, because when you look at that, you know, I was talking, for instance, to Colin Petrucci, who's the director of health promotion policy and communications of VAC, and he was involved in his early 20s with VAC in the early days. And I was talking to him about sexual health, because we sort of think, oh, this has been an evolution and it's always been just sort of going straight forward. But the interesting thing is that he actually talks about how coming out of sort of gay and lesbian liberation and the discussion around sexual health, there was actually this huge amount of stigma around sexual health that came into place because of HIV, and how that didn't actually really exist in the same capacity in the 70s, because, you know, you were talking about things and it was sort of like, okay, well, if you've had syphilis and chlamydia, I think Colin says, you know, I guess that was sort of a sign that, you know, you were very popular. It didn't have the same stigma that sort of came along later. And that was really because of HIV and the fear around that. And, you know, we're still chipping away at that.
Well, it's more than chipping away when you kind of look at that of where we are now. Now we're getting news articles telling us, you know, everyone's got to be concerned about PrEP. Mm. It can lead to super gonorrhea. So it is really interesting to look at these, you know, two different spaces of time when we're still, yep, focusing on the same issues.
And that's the thing, too, is that I think that looking at modern day applications of it. So tonight's show, we're looking at activism and advocacy as a framework. And, you know, if you look at PrEP, for instance, in particular, you see echoes of that. And we start to unpack, you know, how we responded in the 80s and does that model still apply now? And in some instances, things do, but in other instances, they don't. You know, obviously around access to treatment, the stakes were incredibly high in the 80s when literally people are on the streets because they're saying, look, this needs to happen now because these people don't have any more time. With PrEP, it's a bit of a different timeline. And obviously, HIV is a chronic manageable illness as opposed to really what it was when you really truly talking about AIDS in the 80s.
So you're also looking at things in that regard, but are you looking at the organization as well? Because 35 years of history and what that organization is, there's a lot of scope there also.
And it's really interesting to unpack what that organization is, because the understanding of VAC, and I mean, admittedly, VAC was called for a very long time the VAC, Gay Men's Health Center. Mm. But I was talking to Jamie Gardner about this, and there's, as he's going through his archives and looking at it, that organization was established from the very beginning. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that it was actually being formed with, we will tackle this, But the idea is that we put a framework in place that addresses human rights and, you know, addressing those barriers between the broader community's health and well-being needs. And that community has expanded with time. You know, it was largely gay and lesbian focused then, and definitely lesbian presence from the very beginning. Alison Thorne is a persona whose name comes up time and time again because she actually prompted the formation of VAC. But it's changed, and it's really what we call the social determinants of health, and the remit of the organization has really gone to encapsulate that, as HIV has become, like I said, a chronic manageable illness, and we're addressing the other health needs because they're out there. There's tons. Yeah.
And it is really great when you look at the fact that it has always been something that's been meeting the human rights needs that exist on a huge platform. But a lot of people don't understand that, which is why I think it's great that this series is occurring, and it's looking back at our history and what actually exists within it. And then we can compare how it relates to now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a point for reflection for the organization and a great opportunity to really tap into those people. I mean, really, and if I can be on a more somber note, as we were storyboarding this, you know, you go through the timeline and you talk about access to treatment and the introduction of treatment officers and helping people understand. Because, I mean, you talk to some of these people and they sound like they're microbiologists or immunologists. And they had to be because the stuff was happening so fast. They had to be up to speed on it because
they had to learn.
Yeah, the community was trying to make sense of it. And one of the people that I wanted to interview at the time was Tony Maynard, who, of course, actually just recently passed. He was sitting on VAC's board and passed away. And I even said in the production of the first episode that it was actually very sad because it was a reminder that with those people, we basically bury a volume of our history. And I guess I feel like this sense of urgency now. Not that I expect everybody to die, heaven forbid, but it's just one of those things that you never know, and you lose those chapters, and you lose those lessons, and that's a real shame. And so I've been over the moon to work on this.
Well, then it's absolutely wonderful that you're creating this series and you're using the platform here that we have at Joy to be able to look at our history, share our history, and keep a record of that.
It's been an honor. Well and truly, and ever since.
Well, we look forward to hearing it tonight on Well, 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 and you can download the podcast with the series and lots of other fantastic information from Victorian AIDS Council. Kel, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll listen into Well, Well, Well. You're on The Informer.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.